Welcome back. It has been an embarrassing amount of time since I recorded the last podcast, and we basically just went on summer break. If you're a student, you know. If you're a grad student like me, you know that it's not really a summer break. You're still doing stuff. But I don't know why. I just kind of clocked out the podcast game this summer, and I'm excited to get back into it. I didn't want to force myself to record because I just wasn't feeling inspired. And I think the worst thing you can do when you're not feeling inspired is forcing yourself to do something, unless it's for school and like you have to do it and it's like there's a deadline and whatnot. But in terms of this, I think the number one thing you can do is just give yourself time, whether that's with content, whether that's with, I don't know, some other area where you need to use creativity and you really need to communicate with people. So I did that. I gave myself time, and honestly, now I'm excited. And now I have so many ideas and so many things I want to talk about. So we're back, and I am learning to, you know, talk to a mic again and just like talk to myself, because I think part of being consistent with a podcast just like helps you practice and helps keep you in the game of just like talking and articulating your thoughts, which I may be a little rusty, so don't judge based on this episode if this is the first time you're listening. Speaking of first time listening, hi, I'm Araste. I am in my last year of my PhD, so that's exciting. It's Labor Day today, and this is technically the first week of school. Everything is still gonna be online for me, so it really hasn't felt like there's been a change over the past few years, ever since COVID. And I know I'm in school, but it doesn't really feel like I'm in school when I'm doing everything online. But it's also nice to have the option to work at a cafe if I want to and like basically set my own hours. So yeah, I'm going into my last year, and I am also a content creator. You probably know me from my Instagram page. It's her.healthful, and maybe you just discovered me through the podcast app. I don't know. I really don't know how people find the podcast. I just find it so fascinating because this is a very different platform for me. And it's so cool when you find me from the podcast. I'm just like, wow, I can't believe, you know, this is bringing in new people into our little community. So welcome. This episode today is going to be like a little catch up, life updates, and just some like themes and messages and stuff that I want to go into with fall and September and just like a new school year. September kind of feels like a new year to me, not January, just in terms of like how much my routine and schedule changes. So yeah, I want to get into all of that, and hopefully you leave this episode kind of just like motivated for fall and having that good sort of energy going with you. So let's get into it. Okay, so life updates, the very TLDR version, is my summer, like what I did this summer. So if you listen to my last episode, you know I got a nose job, and that was in May. And right before that, I had COVID, and like that was a whole thing. So that was like a whole recovery process with the nose job. Like it was like a month of me not really staying at home the whole time, but I couldn't, you know, work out. I couldn't do like any vigorous or intense activities. I could still see people and stuff, but like I had a lot of swelling, and I still have swelling. It's been like almost 4 months, and the whole recovery process is like a year. But yeah, so that was one big thing that happened this summer. June was pretty low key. I was doing like a lot of work and writing because I was gonna leave in July for a month. So I just wanted to do like that prep of being able to leave without feeling like I hadn't done enough, or, you know, just I didn't want to have work on the back of my mind when I'm on vacation. And I'd never taken a 1 month long vacation. Like, that's a long time, but it was my first time doing Europe, so it kind of just felt like that was needed to get a glimpse of, you know, all the places that I've been wanting to go. Even though there's still so many places I want to go, we definitely didn't hit everywhere. But yeah, July was the highlight of my summer by far. It was a whole Europe trip with me and James, and yeah, I really, really fell in love with Europe. We went to France first. So I'm going to give you like little highlights of everywhere, just like very quickly, my first impressions and everything. France. Okay, so Paris was the first stop, and I didn't know what to expect with Paris because I've heard so many mixed reviews. Like, people seem to love or hate Paris. I've never heard somebody be neutral about it. And so I just didn't know what to expect. I was going in with very, very open mind, and I fell in love. Like, I was on the side of love for Paris, and I just couldn't understand why people hated the city. Everybody was so nice. People spoke English to you. Like, I know French. I'm not good at speaking it, but I'm really good at understanding it because I basically took it up until grade 11 in high school. And this kind of refreshed my memory because I didn't realize how much I did know until I was forced to understand something. I fell in love, and like, just like the city itself is so beautiful, and the architecture is amazing. We love the museums there. I think Musée d'Orsay was like my favorite museum, one of my favorite museums of like the whole trip. And maybe it was the fact that it was our first stop, so it was kind of like, oh my god, Europe, oh my god, like, this is so different. Maybe it could have been partially that, like, a reason why we fell in love so much. But I personally had a great time there. I would 100% return. So yeah, I loved it there, and I can't wait to go back. Second stop was Annecy. You're like, where the fuck is that? What is that? I've never heard of that. So it's, first of all, I'll tell you why we went there. James's sister lives there with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend is originally from France. Like, he's from Lyon, I think, and now he lives there, and they live there together. They have their own place and everything. So James obviously wanted to visit his sister, and there would have been no reason for us to go there ever if his sister didn't live there, right? Because even you, like, I bet you don't know where that is, and you've never heard of it. So it's this small town 2 hours away from Paris. It's close to like the border of France and Switzerland. And I did not know what to expect. And it was kind of nice because they were hosting us for half of it, and were like kind of doing the planning for us and like what to do, what to eat, all of that. So it was nice to have a break from planning, because that gets so tiring. Like, that's probably the most tiring part of traveling, is just like all of the back end and just like what you're gonna do, reservations, all of that. So I really wanted to gatekeep Annecy because it's literally unreal there. Like, you go there and there's this huge lake, it's called Lake Annecy, and the town surrounds it, and you go there and it's like this beautiful blue lake, and in the backgrounds are these like stunning mountains, and like, it looks like a postcard. You can't even believe it's real. I think when I posted on my story, there was like two people who replied knowing where it was. One of them went there for their honeymoon, and then somebody else said, this is my favorite place on earth. And I can totally understand why James's sister moved there, because me and James were looking at each other like, should we move here? It's insane. And because it's so close to Switzerland, you can easily like go for like a weekend getaway there and just like basically have access to so many places in Europe. But the town itself, there was like mountains, lake, beaches, like, it was amazing, amazing. So if you want to go somewhere more low-key, because there was also no tourists there, I highly recommend just a two-hour train from Paris. I literally fell in love. Okay, so after France, we went to Italy, and this was my first time in Italy. Well, I guess I said it was my first time in Europe, so obviously it was my first time in Italy. And we did like the three sort of hot spots of where you need to go. So first we did Venice. Absolutely love Venice. It was so intimate. Like, I loved how small and quaint it was. It was so quiet, and I was like, wait, why is it so quiet here? Because when you're walking on the street, you can literally just like hear your footsteps, and in the city you can never hear that because there's so much going on. And then James was like, yeah, because there's no cars here, like everything is just boats and there's no cars, and when there's no cars in a city, you can hear everything. It was literally a huge library. I loved it. And surprisingly, I think the best food we had in Italy was in Venice. I don't know if it was because, like, just by luck, but it was really good. There was like narrow alleyways. It was just like you're never gonna see somewhere like Venice in your life. Okay, so after that, we went to Florence and we basically started small and then we're working our way up to like Rome, which is the biggest out of all of these three. So Florence, probably my favorite because I think it had a little bit of everything. I love that there's the, you know, core city vibe, but then there's also the Tuscany region and the countryside. And I just love the different elements of it. The food was also really good. Again, beautiful city. I think every city in Europe is just beautiful, but it was really stunning. And the only thing that sucked, I must say, was the transportation story. Like, we literally on our last day had to get to the train station because we trained basically from everywhere that we could. And we were like, okay, whatever, we're gonna take the bus. It's a 10-minute bus ride to the train station. So we go to the bus stop and then these two men are like, yeah, the bus isn't running today. Like, they're on strike. And we're like, okay, like, I guess we'll get a taxi. And then they're like, oh no, the taxis are also on strike. And we just look at each other like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to get there? Uber is like not a thing there. Do not rely on Ubering in Europe because even in Paris, we had problems with that. So we were just looking at each other like, oh my God, we have to get there for our train. How are we gonna get there? Our only option was to walk. It was a 20-minute walk. And like, usually this doesn't sound that bad. A 20-minute walk, I'm happy to do that, but not with my luggage and not with all my stuff. So we literally had no choice. We bit the bullet and we're like, okay, we're walking. And it is hot. Like, it is like 28 degrees. And we're sweating, we're on cobblestone. You're not supposed to take luggage on cobblestone. It's like not made for that. So of course, in the middle of us walking, my luggage breaks. And by break, I mean there's something that got caught in the wheel. I don't know what. And the wheel just got like destroyed. So here we are in the middle of the streets of Florence. Our train is in like 30 minutes. The luggage just broke. I look at James and I start crying. I'm just like, I hate Florence. Like, this city sucks. In hindsight, I was like literally also at the end of my period. I was moody. I was just like, get me out of here. I hate it here. We made it there and I actually did not buy a new luggage. That was our last train. Because after that, it was just flights. And I'm like, honestly, I'm gonna take this home to Toronto and I'll throw it out in Toronto. But for now, I'm not buying a new luggage. There was a way for me to like roll the luggage on its side. It was very awkward, but it worked. So we made it work and I did throw it away when I came back. But it was just a funny story, to say the least. So after Florence, we ended in Rome. Very big city, as you might know. It is very touristy, but there's so much history there. Like, obviously the Colosseum, you know, like the main touristy spots that you have to see. I always say, like, it's touristy for a reason. Obviously, it would be amazing for nobody to be there and it'd be less crowded, but everybody is seeing it because this thing is so monumental and so beautiful. And we did go in, like, the most high season. It was, like, the only time me and James could go, especially him with his work. So I'm not complaining, but we went and it was like also very hot. So great city, but I would not recommend visiting in July. I don't think I'm ever gonna travel in July. It's just like lesson learned, but overall still a really, really great experience. And then so Italy, that was like the three cities we did. Spain, oh my gosh, Spain, like let's give a moment for Spain because we went to Barcelona. And hands down, my favorite spot on the whole itinerary. It's like up there with Annecy. It was amazing. I think I just didn't have high expectations for it, which is probably why it blew my mind. It was amazing. I would move there. There's so much culture, the food. Like, I'm obsessed with seafood. So having it for every meal, like, I'm okay with that. I love shrimp. I love paella. I love all of it. And when it's fresh, it's just like so much better. What else? Architecture, beaches, like, excuse me, there's everything you need there. So I would hands down go and live there for like 6 months to get really immersed in it. But wow, Barcelona, you really blew my mind, and I cannot wait to go back. Last stop was Portugal. We went to Lisbon and a much more quainter city. It was kind of nice to end there. There was so much charm, and I'd never had Portuguese food before, so it was a really fun experience to do something for the first time. It is very, very hilly. Like, there's lots of slopes, lots of uphill. Kind of reminded me of San Francisco, especially with the bridge that they have. And yeah, it was a great end to the trip. And basically, we did four countries, and I want to say, let me count here, it's eight cities. So I think that was plenty for a month, but I never felt like I was rushed, which was great. I feel like we had a good amount of time everywhere. If anything, I would have had more time in Barcelona, but that was just because I loved it so much. And I'm just glad, like, besides from the little things that went wrong, which is gonna happen when you travel, there was nothing major that went wrong. And you know, we're healthy, everything was fine. So yeah, that's always a scary thing to travel for that long because literally so much can go wrong when you travel. And you just gotta accept it kind of before you leave. You're like, okay, something's gonna go wrong. And just, you know, it's out of your control. Like me, I was like, just get me my luggage and I will be good to go after. Like, I did not do a carry-on, and thankfully, everything survived. Everything was good. I did learn after the fact that I want to get a Apple Tag. It's like this tracker that you can attach to your suitcase, and then if you know, like, lose it or the airline misplaces it, then you can see where it is. I don't know if you have to be in the vicinity of it. I think that would be really dumb if that was the case. You should be able to see like where it is in the world, I'm guessing. I don't know. If you know, DM me because I need to get a tracker. I'm always so anxious about my luggage. Okay, so that was my little recap of my travels. Obviously, we're in September now, and August is definitely like my most anxious and blue month. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way too. It's definitely a bunch of things like end of summer and school starting. It's just like a weird time of transition, and there's a lot of change, and you kind of have to mentally prep yourself to, you know, start a new season. And like I'd mentioned before, I'm going into my last year of school, and this is my last year of school ever. Like, I'm not doing any more school after this. That is it. And I'm feeling very existential lately. Been a student my whole life, so it's like my identity. Like, I'm very attached to it. And it's funny because it's like in the small ways that you become attached to it. It's like when you introduce yourself, people always ask, like, what do you do? I say, oh, I'm a student. When you're filling out a form and it says occupation, I do student. It's just like these little things that keep reiterating what you do. And we are very much a society that, like, puts your occupation with your identity. So, of course, it's going to be very prominent in my mind. And I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but it does make sense. I've been a student forever. And I think I'm also feeling existential because this chapter is soon coming to a close. And I'm not really certain of where my career is going. But I do know that I just want to finish the damn PhD. And it's just like something that has been a long time coming because it does take a while to get your PhD, and I'm not mad about it. I signed up for it. I think it's just like this is the final stretch, and it's really where it's gonna get mentally tough. I'm still working on like the whole balance and just how I'm gonna juggle everything. So I guess I'll share tips as it comes along because I know so many of you ask me, like, how do you balance self-care, school, your page, relationships, like all of this stuff. And I'm just like, I actually don't know how I do that. And I take it, like, not even kidding, day by day. I try to plan as much as I can, but at the end of the day, it's all about prioritizing, like, I don't know, doing little things that are going to help you be equipped for that day. But I don't have a formula and I don't have it figured out. And whoever says they do have it figured out either is like well into their career and they're older and they kind of know what works for them and what to prioritize. But I think everybody's kind of coasting and like faking it until they make it sort of thing. I don't think anybody has it figured out. So there are some days where I'm like, should I have done my PhD? Like there's a bit of regret there where I'm like, oh, it was like a waste of time because I don't want to go into academia. That's something I've kind of like set my mind on. And most of your PhD trains you to go into academia. There's definitely stuff you can do outside of it. It's just like not the focus for many people. But yeah, when that regret comes in, I'm just like reminding myself of how much I've learned over the past few years in terms of knowledge, skills, my work ethic. Like all of my graduate studies, nobody's, you know, on you to finish something or to do something. Like obviously you have an advisor to guide you and you have meetings and things to keep you on track, but like they don't really care if you finish it. Like this is all on you. So it's taught me so much about like taking initiative and doing things and like keeping promises to myself. Like when I say I'm gonna do something that week, I want to do it. Because if I don't, it's like I'm breaking a promise to myself. Like I should just not write it in the first place if I don't think I'm able to do it or if it's not realistic. So I'm trying to commend myself on like all the things I gained through this. Not to mention like I love psychology. I just don't think research is meant for me. I've always wanted to pursue something in psychology. And I think part of life is just trial and error. Like you do something and then it's actually great if you realize you don't like it or it's not meant for you, because that just means you're self-aware. Like I could have, you know, ignored all those feelings and be like, yes, I'm going to go into academia because that is what other people do. Who cares if it's what other people do? If it's not what I want to do, why should I, you know, put myself through that? So if you're feeling lost or anything in your career or what is to come, think about what you don't want to do. Think about what you don't like, because that is going to be so enlightening and it will still help you. Just because you don't know your exact job title, your exact career path, that's okay. Focus on all the things that you don't want in a job and then work your way towards, okay, if I don't want this, then the opposite is blank. And then you're kind of like building your dream job in a sense. So I hope that made sense. It made sense in my mind. So yeah, August is a bit of a weird time, or it was a bit of a weird time because I know we're in September now. And I felt like what's calling to me is I want to do something that involves helping people, whether that's like some sort of coaching or something with my social media. It's like, I know I'm good at listening. I'm good at what I do in terms of knowing psychology, knowing research, and like how we deal with our emotions and handle things in stressful situations. Like that's what all my research is, and it is very applicable to the real world. And I would just love to like merge the two worlds of like grad school and social media and just create a job for myself. I don't know what that's gonna look like, but I am very called to working for myself, and I know people really idolize this and glamorize the entrepreneurial life, but I already know it's going to be hard work because I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it with my social media and I'm doing all those things in grad school that take initiative. So I'm kind of building myself up and building the skills that I'm going to need if I do want to go down that route. I just feel like right now there's some uncertainty because I still have to, you know, take that step of finishing the degree and just getting that out of the way. I feel like right now with all the stuff I have to do, it's so hard for me to think about anything else. And I know this was very much a mind dump and I'm like putting everything out on the table, but that's what the podcast is for. Sometimes I just need to share. And I actually wanted to talk about this on the podcast today, which is the topic of vulnerability. So vulnerability is like when you share yourself and share your story, your thoughts, even though you're at risk of like being judged. So you're being completely open, but it could be emotionally very risky and uncomfortable. So vulnerability is like something I have been very much trying to focus on in the past few months, because it can be difficult. Like, you basically have a chance of getting hurt. And if we've had bad experiences in the past, whether it's with a family member, friends, and you've been open and vulnerable with them, they don't, you know, respond in a way that's supportive and loving or whatever, then that teaches us to not be vulnerable in the future. And that's just like a whole thing that is really hard to unlearn. So I myself have just been like very closed off most of my life. And I feel like I do have some people pleasing tendencies where like I feel like my emotions can be baggage or a burden for somebody else to deal with. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna deal with this by myself. Don't need to put this on anyone else. I can just deal with it. And being in a relationship has definitely led me to learn that this doesn't need to be the norm, and it actually is okay to vent and to just like tell people how you're feeling. And if you do need help, like, you are totally okay to ask for it. So I'm constantly learning that, and I'm constantly, again, trial and error. Life is all trial and error, and I'm seeing like how I approach things and what feels good to me, and like what response do I even expect, or like what response would be a good response that would help me. So I'm doing these little things, and I'm also trying to find the line between being open but also having my own boundaries, whether that's with my friends, family, and even online. I find that the online vulnerability is the hardest, because I do need some privacy, but I also want to share experiences to let people know that if you're going through something similar, you're not alone. So how to be more vulnerable? These are just like some tips that have worked for me. And if you feel like you also want to work on this, I don't know, something about fall and something about this transition just makes me feel like we need to shed some layers and become more open with ourselves and open with others. And it's just that season of honesty and communication. So tip number one, get to know yourself. And by get to know yourself, I mean, what are your opinions and preferences, your values, your needs? It's really about connecting with yourself, like articulate all of these things, like journal it out. And the reason for this is to solidify who you are and your confidence in yourself. It's like the first step is to be vulnerable with yourself. Be open with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Like, try as much as you can to be authentic, and don't try to lie to yourself. Like, it's not going to help. And once you have established who you are and you're like, you're going to stand your ground, then it'll be easier to be vulnerable with other people, because you're just like, yeah, this is me. I'm confident in who I am, and I'm okay with sharing my truth because I've done all this work, and you know, my relationship with myself is great now. So first step is to get to know yourself. Second step is to transition to other people. Like, start small with other people. Start, you know, saying little things that might have been hard for you to say before, like voicing your opinion, or you know, telling somebody a small thought or secret or whatever it is. Just something where you're like, oh, this feels a bit like uncomfortable to do, but don't go big. Don't, you know, share some big life trauma with somebody. Just start with a little small thing, and then reward yourself when you do. I mean, even if it's small, it's one step towards growing and becoming more vulnerable. So like, yeah, then take yourself out for a coffee or buy yourself flowers. Like, reward yourself when you do one of those things. Third is to let go of constant worries, like, what are other people thinking about me? Do I look like stupid? Do I sound stupid? Just all of that negative self-talk and overthinking. You need to let go of that shit. You need to write it on a piece of paper and then burn that piece of paper, or do something that's going to help, because that helps nobody. Fourth is to accept your emotions. I've said this so many times, especially the negative ones. Just like, let yourself feel your feelings. It's so important to do that, because then you bottle it up, and then it builds up over time. And that's never healthy. So accept any emotions that come with vulnerability. Again, this is a very, very uncomfortable space and it can be hard and you might have to cry a bit or a lot. You don't know. Either way, just like be forgiving and open to what you're feeling. Last one, it's like you're kind of building your way up. Be open and vulnerable with people you're closest to and the people that make you feel safe. I can't reiterate this enough. You don't want to share things with people who kind of don't fully sit right with you. Like, even though you're friends, you're just like, you're my friend, but maybe I don't want to share this with you. You can be selective with your friends. That's okay. So what kind of reaction are you hoping for when you tell said friend? Like, what would be the best situation? What would be the worst situation? Just like have this sort of thought out beforehand, because it might help. In the most ideal case, you would want people to be supportive, loving, listening, asking questions, just like being attentive, because there's nothing worse than sharing something intimate with somebody and they're not even paying attention. So be selective about who you are vulnerable with and work yourself up to other people if you want to. But again, it's about your comfort and your trust with other people. So that was a little pep talk even for myself. And it is something that I work on, like I mentioned. But I think the first step of getting to know yourself, it can take a while, but it can be in tandem with starting small with people. Like, you don't have to fully wait until you know yourself perfectly, because we all know that that's a lifelong process. But just some self-awareness can really be helpful. Okay, so we're at almost half an hour of me talking. Wow, look at me go, my first one back after months. I know this was a bit of a chaotic episode. It was like life updates and just some random chit chat about vulnerability, but kind of love the randomness of it, and hopefully there's some cohesion along this episode. But yeah, I was gonna do some of the Q&A that I had on my story today, but I think this episode is a bit long now, so we're going to save it for next time. Or maybe I will take a commonly asked question and just like make that a whole episode. But this was great. It feels good to be back. So many of you were like, I'm so excited for it to be back. And I'm like, oh my God, me too. I forgot people listen to this. So let me know if there are specific topics that you really want to hear for the fall time, for the school season, just anything that's really been on your mind and you need help with. I'm excited for the fall. I'm so excited for the cozy vibes. And there might be just like some rebranding changes coming to my page and like the podcast, just in terms of honestly the cover, really. I want to change up the cover, and little fun projects coming soon that I'm excited about. I hope you had a wonderful long weekend and a great start to your school year if you're back in school. To be honest, first week, kind of a write-off. Like, it's just going to be syllabus. Don't worry about it. You will be fine regardless of whether you're in school or you're at a job. Hope you have the best week ever, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.